Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith back with you guys for our usual Tuesday episode. And this week, I think I'm going to kind of pick up where I left off. If you tuned in last week, we dipped back into the course overview kind of stuff. And I talked about Stonegate Golf Club, one of my personal favorites over here just north of Muskegon. And towards the end of last week, I had the opportunity to get out and play another one of my favorite courses on the lake shore. I've got a lot of favorites over this way now that I think about it. But I know you guys, everybody, it's kind of 50-50 probably out there as far as the listenership goes, as to maybe you guys have memberships at private clubs, you've got privileges somewhere like that, or you're a public course player. But I want to keep it. Kind of keep it open on the pod. So I mean, we talk munis, we talk public tracks, we're going to talk country clubs. And Muskegon is an awesome country club, and it's one that I used to work at back in 07 and 08. And back then they celebrated their centennial anniversary. The course is a Donald Ross design, established in 1908. And honestly, I mean, there's a lot of great public courses around. The Watermark Group has a ton, obviously. I've talked about a few of those. Spring Lake Country Club's nice. Egypt Valley is definitely one of my favorites that I have not talked about on the podcast, but they're an awesome facility. I think in part due to the fact that they have 36 holes there, which I absolutely love. But Muskegon Country Club kind of takes the cake for me. It's my favorite design. I play there usually a couple of times a year, be it in the freaking cold of the first week of May, and they host a qualifier for the U.S. Open the last few years that I've competed in. And that's a riot, but I tell you what, I've froze my fingers off more years than not out there that time of year. And but it's still it's a dynamite track. So I want to get it on the podcast, share it with you guys. So before we do, you guys know the drill. Let's grab the ad, and then when we get back, let's talk Muskegon Country Club. Awesome guys, welcome back. And real quick here, show of hands, who's played Muskegon Country Club? Psych. Bad podcast joke. Used it before. I should probably come up with some other ones because my kind of, I don't know. One, I'm not really that funny. And two, when it comes to podcast jokes, I really don't know what there is. But let's talk Muskegon CC. So again, I used to work there back in 07 and 08. And so I'm a little bit biased on kind of my feelings around the golf course. And again, I compete there every year in the US Open qualifier that first week of May. And I usually get out another couple of times with some people that are generous enough to invite me out to play. But again, just it's one of those courses where, for one, it's a Donald Ross design. And if you're familiar with Donald Ross designed courses, they're awesome. And this one is kind of takes the old kind of country club layout, but adds a whole lot of pizzazz, a whole lot of flair. And I'll tell you what, I mean, Donald Ross designs are notorious for having difficult green complexes and surrounds, and Muskegon Country Club has every bit of that, but it's got so much character beyond it. And I think that's one of my favorite things about it. Not just the fact that you're close to the lake shore, you're tucked back in the woods, you got just a beautiful setting and tons of wildlife, but you've got just such a dramatic kind of terrain change over the course. And it's one of those where it just kind of really dials it in as far as you really need every shot in the game of golf to post a good score at Muskegon Country Club. You can't just go out there and expect to hit your stock shot every single time because this course is going to demand so much more out of you. It's not very long. I got the card right here in front of me from my round from the back tees. So if you were to tip it out, it's 6,697 yards, so just shy of 6,700. But it's a test, and I mean, again, length isn't going to be the factor. You're going to be able to hit a lot of tee shots that put you in scoring position, but you're going to have a lot of uneven lies. You're going to have to navigate your way around just rolling fairways, some pretty not super penal rough, but I mean decent rough. And then you've got the fescue, the purple sage that grows out there, which is absolutely beautiful in the summertime, which I always got a kick out of because here you are. The USGA hosts their US Open local qualifier out there at Muskegon every spring, and it's the first week of May. And the first week of May, you guys know Michigan golf, it's hit or miss. And more often than not with the weather, it's miss. And it's cold and it's probably wet. And you just really never know what you're going to get. But what I always thought was cool was when you get out there to compete in a U.S. Open qualifier, the test is in that atmosphere, it's 50% golf course, 25%. My percentages are way off, but let's say 25% just knowing that you're competing for a U.S. Open local qualifying spot, and then 25% weather conditions. And the weather conditions can be brutal that time of year, but that's a whole nother story. But let's just talk the course. Let's talk the country club. So first tee, you're going to start off with a beautiful par four. And what's kind of cool, I mean, depending on the time of year you're playing, I played obviously last week, so it's end of season. There was nobody out there. It was dead. But they've got a beautiful clubhouse perched up on top of the hill that overlooks the practice screen, the driving range. You can see 9 green. You can see 1 tee box. You can see 10 tee box. And so what's cool is when you're teeing off on whether it's 1 or 10, peak season, you're going to have people watching because the restaurant's up there. They've got the patio. I mean, there's going to be people, whether it's employees, whether it's just people having lunch or dinner or people practicing. I mean, you're going to tee off in front of people, which I always think is fun and a cool experience. But hole one does kind of test you right out of the gate. I'm going to kind of talk about this course from the back tees because that's what we played. And the first hole, it's 400 yards, a 400-yard par four. Pretty forgiving off the tee, though. Dead straight, rolling fairway, and I could say rolling fairway 18 times as I talk about this golf course. But we're just going to leave it at that. And there is fescue left. One parallels 9 and then kind of runs you out towards. You'll also kind of get a little bit of 16 green that's out there to the right. But again, pretty forgiving landing area. And I hit it out there up the left side, and thankfully the fescue has been mowed down, so it's, again, not penalizing. But I left myself about 140 yards, 142, I think, into this green. And I tell you what, I have bogeyed this darn hole more times than I've probably done anything else. This hole, in my mind, I just call it a par 5 and just take my 1 over through 1 and move on, because it is seriously one of probably the 3 most difficult approach shots on this golf course. And it's right out of the stinking gate. So 140 yards for me, it's going back uphill. So with the elevation, I mean, you're maybe trying to finesse a 9-iron in there. Otherwise, you're trying to hit a pitching wedge, and you're probably going to try to hit a little bit hard and control the distance. But it's so much more of a test because this green is very narrow front to back. It's pretty wide. I couldn't guess again. If you listen to the last podcast, I'm really bad at guessing distances in feet. And so it's green's wider than it is deep. Let's leave it at that. So going uphill to a wide green, not very deep, false front. And if you miss short, this ball is rolling easily 20, 30, 40 yards back down this hill where you're left with an awkward pitch shot back up to a green where, I tell you what, I've done this before. You hit it up there, it catches the false front, spins back down. Now you're left with an awkward pitch shot. You hit it up there, don't quite get it far enough, trundles right back down to your feet. And then you're thinking, all right, cool. I've 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just got to chip this in for bogey at this point. And you're making probably double at best. This particular day, I did, in fact, lay up short. And left it just down the right rough because it kind of spun back off the front edge and then trickled down. Thankfully caught the rough about maybe 10 yards short of the green. But then I didn't hit a very good pitch shot, and I did end up making bogey. So 2 putts. And the thing is it's hard to even decide where to even potentially try to miss, because if you don't hit the green, you're pretty much toast, because if you go off the back, you're down a little hill in the rough. If you go right, you're in trouble. If you go left, there's a bunker and then 2 tee box. And it's just, there's nowhere to even potentially kind of bail out. So welcome to Muskegon Country Club. Welcome to Donald Ross design. It's buckle up right out of the gate. And so after the bogey on the first, I go to the second, which is also not one of my favorite holes historically. And That's because it's dead straight. I'm not a huge fan of dead straight holes. And I think the reason for that is I like to work the ball, especially off the tee, and I like to use kind of sight lines. And in the country club scene, when I mean, sometimes they're tree line courses, but I mean, it's tough to. I always have a tough time just picking visuals. I mean, do I want to fade it off this tee? Do I want to draw it? And this particular one, I just decided, you know what, man, let's maximize the amount of dispersion. You just yanked one left off the tee on one. Let's give yourself, I mean, who knows? This could go right, could go left. It was cold, it was windy, and it's anybody's guess. So I aimed right down the middle. And Lord willing, I hit it right down the pipe. So that doesn't happen all that often. You guys know a little bit about my driving abilities when it comes to accuracy, but I will tell you what, it has been improving significantly as of late. But this one was piped. Holes 397. I had about 100, 105, 110 yards in. So again, in the cold October air, to have 100 yards into a 400 yard par four was super awesome. And I took full advantage, again, just kind of knowing a little bit about how to play golf when it's cold out. I mean, the ball is traditionally not going to fly quite as far. So instead of hitting my normal 56 degree wedge to this front pin location, I took my 52 degree and just kind of, you guys have heard me talk about, I squeezed one in there, just kind of aim at the left side. There's a bunker to the left, but just kind of squeeze it in there with a little bit of an open face and spin it. And there's a tree that kind of guards the right side of the green. So if you're coming in from too far right, I mean, regardless, left, right, center, I mean, you can't see most of the putting surface unless you are left and you do have kind of a nice spot perched up on the hill. But not necessarily, I mean, better angle of attack than right. So if you do miss on two, favor the left side, it'll definitely open up your approach. But I spun one in there to about 12 feet and then made the putt for birdie. The greens were rolling just absolutely pure, and they always are. I mean, the superintendent takes such great care of this golf course, and that's why it's one of my favorite ones to play. And you guys have heard me talk about this aspect before too. It's like I love golf courses with good greens. Good, smooth, true, fast putting surfaces are my absolute favorite. And so maybe that's a little bit why I like Muskegon as much as I do too, because again, I don't normally score that well here. I mean, low 70s is a good round for me, but I just love the condition of the golf course. So you can't go wrong with that. And getting off the a bogey start and then turning around, burying a 12-footer for birdie on the second gets me back to even par, and it was just really kind of helped ease into the round, or so I thought. Because then you go to three, four, five, and it's kind of the first five holes here are a test. And I don't know why that is for me. I think it's just more psychological than anything else. But three is a par four. You go way up this hill and you tee off, and it's a huge drop. It's got to be every bit of, again, super bad at guessing distances, 80, 100 feet maybe. I don't know. It's not a long par four, 388 from the tips. But for me, elevated tee boxes just widen my scope of potential driving landing areas. And this hole has just always been a nuisance for me because left I've never liked, although there was a tree over on that left side that they did recently take out. So that used to be kind of problematic. But I always kind of go back and forth here on hitting driver off the tee versus maybe three wood or a long iron. And part of me always wants to go with a long iron, but the problem is the approach shot is so kind of such a test for me. It's a very narrow green, very, very narrow green, and very long. Front to back. So again, between the sloping fairways, this fairway slopes severely right to left, and then the narrow green, and then there's a tree that kind of guards that front left side, which does in fact does help favor my draw, and as does the right to left sloping fairway. But still, I don't want to have any longer of a shot into this hole than I have to. So more often than not, I hit driver. I usually am up the right side. There's some bunkers over there to catch your ball, but there's trees and it puts you up on top of the hill. And I just go for it. So that's what I ended up doing. I ended up just kind of taking a cut up the right side and left it out there. And unfortunately, had about, gosh, I don't remember what I had because I wasn't able to really do much with it. I got kind of in trouble with the trees there and had to punch out with a four iron. So I just kind of knocked one back into the fairway to about 80 yards and then absolutely stuffed a wedge shot to about 2 feet, which was super cool, because I didn't want to go bogey, birdie, bogey to start the round. So knocked the wedge in there real tight, tapped in for par, and on to the next. And the next hole, this should absolutely be my bread and butter wheelhouse. Four is a short par four. It's, and by par four standards, it's short. It's downhill, dogleg left. It's 350 yards. And so this is a hole where you get the predominant wind coming off the lake. So the wind is right to left. The hole goes right to left. I love hitting the ball right to left, but I cannot tell you how many times I've blown my tee shot into the trees on the right. And I blame the tee box. The tee box definitely points you up the right side. And I just think I never really square up on this hole like I need to. And left is jail anyway, so you don't want to go left, but right doesn't really do you any favors either. And again, this is a hole where I just always want to birdie it because it's short. I want to take advantage of it. But the smart play, if you're playing position golf and you're being strategic, is to just hit an iron off the tee, knock an iron out there. There's a couple of small pine trees on the right side of the fairway that make a great target to work your ball off of. You just want to probably laser those to get an idea of what the distance is to cover those, because you don't want to be short of them and you don't want to be behind them. You don't want to be in them. So make sure you get past those pines and stay left. I did not do one of those two things. I did get past the pines because I did hit driver, but I bombed it up the right side and only had 70 yards, but that's partially because I was about 50 yards right of target and only about 20 yards short. I absolutely smoked this driver, which was crazy. I hit some long tee shots today on this particular day, but that's besides the point, because I'm in jail. So right side, normally fescue, trees, punch out again. I punched one out there short of the green, and oh, I did not get this one up and down. So I punched this one out short, pitched it on there, didn't hit a very good pitch shot, left myself about 8 feet up the hill, which at Muskegon Country Club, I mean, I haven't said it yet, but true, firm, fast greens, you want to be below the hole, because if you've got downhillers all day, you're going to exhaust yourself in trying to be delicate with putts. And this is one, four green slopes, pretty significant from back to front. So this is one where I was absolutely not going to go long, just kind of bunted a pitch shot up there knowing that short was better, and just take the 8 footer up the hill and go from there. Unfortunately, I didn't make it, so I did tap in for bogey and go to the next, which is the last hole in my personal treacherous stretch, and it's the par three fifth. Let's get that right. And it's a tough par three, and I think, gosh, I would say three of the four par threes are very difficult. And this is a very, very difficult first par three of the day. And it's 180 yards, but it's straight back uphill. And so you can't see the putting surface. It's, again, it's reasonably deep. So it's a good size green, but there's bunkering left, there's bunker right and short. And if you come up short, again, just a super big hill, that if you catch this hillside and it's peak season or conditions are good, that ball is rolling. I mean, it could roll all the way back down to the bottom and leave you 70-yard wedge shot. I mean, so you could go and you could literally probably come up about 3 yards short of this putting surface, 2 yards short, and you could be left with a 60-plus-yard wedge shot depending on how the turf is behaving. So this is no joke. And so I always, always, always take one extra club and just kind of take my medicine here, because it's a tough shot, tough to gauge the distance. And even though if you go long, you do have a testy little putter chip putting back down, because this green, like most, slopes back to front. So I took my extra club, but then I chunked it and left myself that 70-yard wedge shot anyway, just because I hit it significantly fat and I didn't even have a chance to roll back down the hill to get to that 70 yard mark. I just fatted it right into the hill and it just sat there. So definitely not my most shining moment off of this tee box, but it's a very, very conservative layup to the end of the fairway on the fifth. So wedged it up there again, past the hole, probably about 10 feet, and left myself a little bender. The pin was front middle, and this green, again, not only slopes pretty significantly back to front, but if you're putting across the green, it's just super significant break, obviously. And so I had about a 10-footer that probably broke about 3 feet, and one that I had to hit very, very softly. And I did almost make it, which was super cool, but tap in for a second consecutive bogey, and not exactly the start I was hoping for. But again, like I said, the first 5 holes here just test me. It's so bogey, birdie, par, bogey, bogey, 2 over through 5. And promise you, when I say I've definitely gotten off to worse starts, and so all in all, not bad. And heading to a par 5 too. 6 is a great hole, but I tell you what, 6 is it's a great hole, but it is a tough hole for me. It's 550 yards, which by par 5 standards is moderate in length. It's not short, it's not long, but I don't think I've ever gotten to this green in 2, just because I just think it's such a gradual uphill climb that you don't really realize how uphill it is to the green until you actually get there. But there's bunkers up the left, and you want to play up the left side. The hill, there's a hill on the left that'll kind of kick at, I mean, when the fescue's not long and penalizing, that helps. But right is out of bounds, so you don't even want to mess with right. So I always aim at the fairway bunker on the left and just try and cut one off of it. And this time I did not cut it. I definitely pulled it and left it up on the hill in the fescue, took a 4 iron, and hit what I thought was a really, really good shot, which it was a good shot. But still came up, gosh, I was again not going for the screen in 2, but came up about, I think I had 95 yards, granted to a back pin. And this green perches, I mean, again, rolling fairways, so I had a ridiculous uphill lie, and I hate hitting uphill lies. I hate hitting wedge shots with a significant uphill lie because I already hit the ball high. I already hit my wedges stupid high. And so uphill lie with a wedge. Again, I kind of took this back to hole 2, and 95 yards is a really comfortable 56 degree wedge for me. But I thought, you know what? Don't be ridiculous. Hit the 52. Make sure you get it back there and give yourself a chance. This green is very, very long and kind of angles left to right. And there's bunkering on the right, there's bunker left, and everything kind of bowls to the middle of the green though. So it's pretty friendly approach shot. It's just getting that distance right when you're hitting up the hill and you can't see the putting surface. So I hit the 52 in there, caught the back edge of the green. It was definitely going a little bit long. So I left myself a little bit of another downhill putt from about 15, 18 feet, which I did 2 putt and was happy to get back on, at least trending in the right direction. Get off the bogey train, get a par on the card, and just kind of keep plugging along. And heading to the next hole. The next hole is the second par 3 of the round. And it is a, in my opinion, it's a tough par 3. It's, you've got an elevated tee box, but you're looking at 195 yards. And anytime you're hitting the par 3, that's 195. Green is elevated again, perched up on a hill. It's not, I guess, I don't know. It's probably 50 feet. Again, take that with a grain of salt because I'm not good at this. But let's say 50 feet front to back. So reasonably deep, but definitely wide. Bunkers, short, and pretty much everything right is going to bounce down to the right. Long is toast. Short, you're potentially, obviously, if you're in the bunker, great. Otherwise, there's a small fairway approach area, but there's a pond. So definitely don't want to fat this one because if you chunk this one, you're in the hazard and you're taking a drop at, like, I don't know, probably the white tees, maybe 100, which leaves you another 140 yard shot. So nobody wants to do that. I hit a 5 iron here and didn't catch it great. Thought I was going to come up short. Ended up catching the front of the green, but left myself about a 50-foot putt to a pin that was back middle. And just kind of, obviously, those, you're just trying to get the speed right, which I thankfully did. Kind of rolled it up there to about 2 feet, tapped in for par. And that's a good par. I'll take par on any par 3 any day, but the par 3s out on Muskegon Country Club in particular, I mean, shoot, I don't birdie these hardly ever. So a par is a great score on these holes for me. And heading to the par 4 eighth, this is where I really feel like you can kind of get some momentum going, get some scoring kind of in place. Because with the exception of 9 and, I don't know, maybe 10 too, but I'll get there in a second. But 8's a great short par four. Very cool risk reward hole at this point in the round, because it's from the back tees, it's 314 yards and slight dogleg right. There's a great little tree out there on the left side that you can aim at if you're an absolute bomber of the golf ball, and you can just aim at that tree and fade it off of that. There's a chance that you can catch this green and actually give yourself a putted eagle. If you miss right, you're kind of in trouble. Nine tee boxes over there. There's a fairway bunker if you're not long enough to get past it, or if you kind of take the more conservative route and hit an iron off the tee, you're going to want to be conscious of that fairway bunker. But this is one of those holes where I've always had a little bit of a kind of strategy dilemma, because, again, if it's a very narrow green right to left, it's a very long green front to back, and then there's a ridge in the middle of it. And so that ridge, it's probably about a 3 foot, maybe, yeah, probably I'd say 3 foot. 3 foot rise from front of the green to the back of the green. So it's not an easy two putt if you don't get your wedge shot kind of on the proper level. And so this is a hole where, again, the fairway kind of cambers left to right. If you hit it far enough up there, you're going to end up with a downhill lie, which is going to be not easy. And so I always just kind of go for it. I mean, why the heck not? Worst case scenario, you end up down to the right, and it's not a great spot to be, but it's not the worst spot to be. And I'm trying to think of what kind of trouble you can get into here, because it's kind of pretty friendly for the most part. But this is a crazy, crazy thing, because, again, October. But like I said, I was hitting the ball. For some reason, the ball was going far, and which is unusual. And I actually ended up driving this green. And pin was on the front, which you couldn't tell from the tee box. But I just took it right at that tree that I kind of told you guys about. If you've played there, you know exactly what tree I'm talking about here. And you just squeeze the fade off of that and just try and bomb it. And I ended up flying. Usually if I hit it well here, I'm about 10 yards short. The green is kind of perched up, probably about 5 yards short. And I'll end up kind of in the little kind of collection area down there, just in front of the green. But this time I happened to fly it on, which was incredible for me, and left myself about 8 feet for eagle, which was super incredible for me. I've never, ever done this before. And then I rolled in the putt. So that was super cool to get from 2 over through 7 back to even through 8. And that's something that I, like I said, I mean, that was a career first. And I've been playing Muskegon Country Club for a long time. Probably about, well, obviously I started working there in 07. So 13 years I've been playing MCC. And so, and leave it to this. I mean, like a freaking cold day in October and somehow managed to eagle a hole that I've never ever had even a reasonable opportunity to eagling. But that was super cool and definitely jump started my round heading to the par four ninth, because the par four ninth is a lot like the par four first. Very friendly off the tee, and you better just buckle up for the approach shot. And off the tee, you're looking at just a slight dogleg left fairway. Definitely cambers down to the left. There's a hill that you can kind of aim at and work the ball off of. If you miss it right, it definitely leaves you with a very, very long approach shot. And I mean, for the average golfer, this is just a ridiculously difficult hole, I think. Because if you hit, like, how long is it? Let me see here. 398. So let's hypothetically say you bop it out there 240 yards, you're left with 150 to 160. Some guys maybe don't hit it quite 240. Some guys obviously hit it longer. And this green is just, it's a bear. It's, I don't know which one's harder to hit, 1 or 9. And it's a toss up either way. But 9 is I think more difficult than 1, just because the slope on this green is so much more significant front to back. And so even if you hit the green, there's no guarantees of a 2-putt, at least for me. And so I hit one. I hit a drive that kind of worked left around this. There's a big tree kind of on the corner that is definitely going to give some guys fits, but if you can get past it, it definitely opens it up. It left me with about 100 yards in. I think I had about 110, so another gap wedge up the hill. And again, if you come up short, you're in trouble because you're going to come off the front of this green, you're going to roll down the hill, and this time of year it's not too bad because it's wet and the grass is maybe a little longer, but still. So I erred on the side of what I consider caution and hit it past the hole, but again, you're left with just a delicate putt for birdie and one that you can't really take too much of an advantage of. But there's bunkering left. If you miss right, you're in the hill on the in the rough on the hillside. And I think one of the big bummers for me about hole nine at Mesquite Country Club is back in the day, they used to have three trees right behind the green, which were awesome for depth. It kind of gave you something to kind of aim at, really helped you gauge distance. Going up the hill to a putting surface you can't see, it gets difficult. So having something to kind of gauge how far you have to hit it. And I always thought I enjoyed it because if I wanted to draw it, I'd kind of aim at the tree on the right. If I wanted to fade it, I'd aim at the tree on the left and just kind of play that. But they took those trees out. And so now it's just a big, vast, open area behind the green. So it makes it even more difficult to really judge how far to hit it going up the hill to give yourself a decent look at birdie. So again, very challenging approach shot. I don't know. I don't even want to give you guys any words of wisdom here because I don't know what they'd be. If you miss short left, that's your best opportunity to pitch and get up and down. But again, if you're in the bunker, it's not an easy bunker shot, and there's really not a good spot to putt from on the screen. So if you're lucky, hit it close. If you're good, two putt for par. But if you make a bogey, it's not the worst thing in the world. I did make par here to make the turn it even, but trust me, I've made my very fair share of bogeys and double bogeys on nine because it is just a pain in the butt. Hole one and nine, I mean, they just bookend it's just brutal bookends to a front nine. And then heading to 10, I mean, you're not in for an easy birdie there either. So going to 10, I mean, you're teeing off again right off the patio of the clubhouse, which I think 10 is probably my favorite tee shot on the course. Which is funny because it's a dogleg right, and I'm a drawer of the golf ball, but I love the tee shot on 10. And it's a short par 4, only 330 yards. And there's a fairway bunker out there. There's kind of two levels of fairway. You go down, and then there's kind of a flat area, and then you go back up and to the right. And so if you go and cover that fairway bunker, you're going to be up there, gosh, inside 100 yards for sure. And there's kind of some greenside bunkering, but what I always do, at least back in the day, or most days when I play here, back in the day, so there's trees on the left, and then there's actually, it's 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 green is in sight, and I always aim at 13 green and try and fade it off of that because for me, it's just a great target. Maybe you can get to 13 green, maybe not, but I like to kind of work the ball off of that because it gives you a ton of room to fade it back into play, into the fairway, and just kind of, for me, opens up the landing area and gives you a great angle in. You want to approach this green from the left side because the green, again, I feel like I say this a lot, slopes significantly back to front, and I mean stupid significantly. I think hole 1, 9, and 10 are the three most difficult approach shots on this golf course. And if you hit the ball of substantial length or a decent length, like I had 140 into one. I had 105 into 9, and this hole I kind of overfaded it, but took a cut it going towards the green, and I ended up just short of pin high. I was probably about 30 yards short of the green to the right, and I was in absolute jail. It was just a miserable spot to be because this green slopes so significantly from back right to front left that it is impossible to hold an approach shot anywhere close to the hole unless you just get ridiculously lucky. And which this hole kind of reminds me of a not so funny story. This was back in, shoot, was it 2007? No, not 2007. Wow, that's way back into the time. 2017 or 2018. I think it was 2017. So the first year I'd moved back to Michigan from North Carolina and signed up for the US Open qualifier out here. I started on 10 and I had my dad caddy for me. And we get out there to 10. I hit a great tee shot off the left side, left myself a wedge in, which is exactly kind of right where I wanted to be, out of the left side of the fairway. pin is middle, just absolute middle hole location. I can't remember what exactly I had. Probably something in the neighborhood of 80 yards, maybe 90. I hit a wedge in there to about, I kid you not, not even exaggerating whatsoever, about 2.5, 3 feet past the hole. Ended up just past the hole, and I'm thinking, all right, you just stuffed a wedge shot, but my dad's excited. He's like, oh, great shot. Let's go knock that in for birdie. And the whole time, just knowing my past experience at this golf course and knowing what this green is capable of, I'm thinking, let's go two putt for par. And how many times do you walk up to a green, have a 3-foot putt, and you're thinking, let's go two putt for par? And I'll tell you why, because this green slopes so significantly back to front that I hit this putt just like you see in the magazines and here on TV. You kind of hit it off the toe of the putter to deaden it. But it's a putt where it was so short, and I had to start it outside the hole, and I tried to deaden it. I really, truly did. Caught the high side of the lip ever so slightly, and it doesn't curl in. It just kind of goes right around the lip, and I've got about, at the end, I've got about 15 feet coming back up the hill for par, because this thing trickled past the top edge of the cup and just continues its journey, and I just sit there and I watch it, and gosh, it just drives me nuts thinking about it, because you go and you hit two good golf shots to open a qualifier, a U.S. Open local qualifier, and I end up 3-putting for bogey. So you go from being kind of really high, really just feeling good about your round, and then all of a sudden you're super dejected and you're thinking, what the heck did I just do? But that's welcome to Muskegon Country Club. It's welcome to a Donald Ross design. You're going to have to work hard for your birdies. And 10 is not a hole for me to birdie. So going back to this round last week, I, like I said, left it about 30 yards short right, chunked it, still right, bumped it onto the green, left myself about 20 feet for par, which I did not make, and just kind of tapped in for bogey. So ho-hum. But like I said, some holes you just got to take your medicine and move on. And that's, for me, that's one of them. And going to 11, this is easiest par three on the course, and I like this hole. It's always been a good hole to me. It's 152 yards. For whatever reason, just it plays longer. So me having kind of a little bit of that kind of local course knowledge, 152 means play at 162. It's just kind of what I've always done, and so I always club up. I hit an 8-iron here, and it played the number. I ended up about, I don't know, 20 feet pin high right. Nothing crazy. This green does have, it's a very big green. It's got a front left greenside bunker, a front right greenside bunker. But it's a huge target. The only time this hole gets tough, I think, is when they put the pin on the back. There's a small shelf on the back that's maybe 12 feet, maybe, before you kind of catch that ridge and funnel back to the front of the green, or you go long and you're in the rough and with kind of an awkward chip shot or pitch shot back to that back hole location. So, again, I mean, just be conscious of that and just err on the side of caution. The middle of the green on 11 is money every time. And I've birdied this hole quite a few times, but I did not birdie it last week. I didn't make par, though, and just kind of took that 20-footer and lagged it up there and tapped in, which is, again, fine. So still cruising along at 1 over through 11. And going to the par 4, 12th, this kind of begins a bit of a scoring stretch. I love 12, I love 13, I love 14, because you're looking at a pretty gettable par 4 and then back-to-back par 5s. But the challenge here on 12 for me is, again, just deciding what to hit off the tee. I mean, do you bomb it up there? There's woods up, the trees up the right, just kind of forest. At least I'm prone to getting really nasty kicks, so I always err on the side of extreme caution and aim with the left side. There's some pine trees out there on the left that make a great target for me. They're in the left rough, and I'll fade the ball off of them. But coming in from the left side of this fairway really opens up the green and helps you kind of take advantage of the slopes. This green, it's a huge, huge green again, probably one of the bigger greens on the golf course. Slopes back right to front left, and there is a bit of a false front. It's just kind of more significantly sloped down there, but there's bunkering that guards the front, and if you miss it up the right side of this fairway, and you don't even have to miss by much, I mean, you might even be in a little bit of trouble on the right side of the fairway, because there's some pine trees up there that are about maybe 70 yards short of the green that will obstruct your approach shot. And so you either have to go up and over them depending on where the hole location is, or you got to fade it around, and it's just not an easy golf shot. So I don't know what I was thinking, but I ended up trying to hit a draw here because I just happened to feel like hitting a draw on this hole. I guess it's just kind of, when I step up on a tee box, I just kind of let my subconscious mind take over. My eyes pick a target and I try to react to that. And so I aimed at these pine trees and just hit it straight into them. Thankfully, it kind of clattered around, just dropped straight down. But even then, I was absolutely toast because there's a front right greenside bunker and I had a front middle hole location. And so from 70 yards, I can't even hit a punch shot that's going to get on this putting surface and give myself a chance. So there was no opportunity to hit a wedge because I'm under the pine trees. And I hit an 8-iron and just kind of bumped one up there left of the bunker and just left it short in the approach, which was, I thought, the proper play. And it worked out for me because that pin front middle, I had a pretty simple pitch shot from maybe 15-20 yards tops, bumped it in there to about 4 feet, and then made the putt for par. So all in all, good stuff. But you definitely don't want to be on the right side of this fairway. I mean, play left and just play the angles. You got to be strategic on this hole. And then heading to the par fives, I love, like I said, the stretch of holes, because these back-to-back par fives are super fun. And I've had a lot of success. There was one time back in 07-08, I was out playing with the GM there at Muskegon Country Club, another buddy of mine, and one of the assistant pros. And I actually hit these par fives. I hit both of them in two, back-to-back. I didn't make eagle on both of them, but that was just a cool thing, having back-to-back par fives, hit the green in two on both of them, and give yourself at least opportunities to make eagle. And the tee shot on this first par five, it's a straightaway hole. There's trees up the right, bunkers up the left. I always aim at the bunkers on the left because the trees on the right are more trouble than they're worth. And a lot of times the wind, again, coming off the lakeshore is going to be blowing left to right here. And so I aim at these bunkers. That's exactly what I did last week. Unfortunately, there's a couple of them. It's either two or three. I can't recall. But I ended up in the far one. And thankfully, I mean, far enough back from the lip where I had at least somewhat of an opportunity, because again, it's a par five and I want to take a cut at the green, especially sitting at that one over mark. I want to kind of build some momentum on these two holes. So I had 245, and this was a cool opportunity to use the five wood that I told you guys about a couple episodes ago. And let me tell you what, this five wood that I've got has been money. And it's October, I'm playing with a couple of guys, I'm not playing for anything, so why the heck not hit five wood out of a fairway bunker from 240 and take a cut at the green? So that's exactly what I did. Absolutely smoked it. Came up about 3 yards short of the green, just in the rough on the right, which was not ideal for what I actually needed to do. The pin was front right, but this is a cool green because I want to say it's a cool green, but it can be a very nasty green. So it's kind of a bowl. The whole front and middle is very much a bowl. And so you hit anywhere in there, you're going to leave yourself with a pretty reasonable putt. One of the guys in my group hit a shot in there with a 5-iron for his third. He had the layup and hit this 5-iron that he thought he just didn't hit well, and kind of landed short left of the green, bounced up, rolled to the right, and he ended up with about 12 feet for birdie. And I'm like, that's cool. It's just a cool hole, in my opinion. And so the only time it's not is when they cut the pin on the back of this green, which again is kind of like 11. It's got a smaller back shelf, so then you really do have to work hard, because if you don't get it back there, you're going to have a pretty tough putt. But the pin for us was front right, so I was in kind of that delicate little spot where you got kind of an awkward little pitch shot, but just kind of opened the face, and I kind of popped up a little tiny, not a flop shot, but just kind of a tiny flop, a little mini flop, and just bops onto the green, rolls about 6 feet past the hole. And again, just tribute to these just pure greens. From 6 feet, it's like, I mean, shoot, all you got to do is pick a spot on a line and just roll it over that spot. So I love to pick a spot about 6-8 inches in front of my ball and just putt right over that. And if you hit your line, and Lord willing, you pick the right line, I mean, the ball is going to find the bottom of the cup. And so that's what I did. Knocked in the 6-footer for birdie, get back to even par, and head to the next par five, which is shorter. The first of the two was 565. The second par five here, 14, only measures 528, but it is a tough 528 because the tee shot is fairly forgiving. There's bunker up the left, kind of the fairways out to the right. I think there's a bunker up the right. I never go right on this hole because right just gives you zero opportunity to go for this green and two. So it's either a good three-shot hole, or if you kind of muscle up and hit one well, you can get home in two. But I took a ball just kind of right over the bunker and just bombed it. I got lucky, hit it straight, and found the left side of the fairway, which is the perfect angle to go for this green and two. And we had a back hole location. I think I had 228, 230 to this hole location. So now I'm thinking, awesome, you just hit 5-wood from 240 out of the fairway bunker and almost caught the green. You've got 230 here out of the fairway. Let's do this. And let's kind of squeeze a fade in there, because I found, thankfully, probably one of the flatter areas of the fairway. And it's not, from, again, October, it's not worth laying up. It's a very, very friendly and wide landing area if you do have to lay up to that 100-yard marker. But what I will say is, if you do put yourself back there, you are going to have just kind of an uncomfortable lie, because, I mean, I don't even know if I'm on the right side of that fairway, if you get flat ground or not. But otherwise, you've got the ball below your feet with a wedge and potentially even a little bit of a downhill lie. So it's a very, very tough third shot. If you do end up with a wedge in your hand, it's not a gimme by any stretch. But this green is tough to hit from long range, because, again, if you're not on the left side of the fairway, you've got to hit just a ridiculous cut shot. And the green is very narrow right to left and very long front to back. There's greenside bunker that protects that front right side. There's some trees that kind of can come into play. I don't remember if there's bunker on the left or not. Drawing a blank on that one. But I was, again, just taking that 5-wood, trying to hit that squeeze fade that I referenced an awful lot, and chunked it with an open face. So fatted it up there to about 60 yards short of the green, in the trees on the right, which was absolutely just dumb. Because now I've had a back hole location, greenside bunkers, and I've got to hit a punch shot to keep it under these tree branches, but carry the bunker and then stop it on the green. And there was absolutely zero chance of any of that happening. So I bumped a 9-iron and just took my medicine, carried it onto the green, and let it kind of scoot off the back. And thankfully, just kind of left myself a little pitch shot that just kind of popped onto the green and rolled out to about a foot and tapped in for par. But that's a scoring opportunity squandered. It's one of those, again, like I said, back-to-back par fives, and it's one that you want to get. In my opinion, those two holes, 13 and 14, are the two gettable par fives for me on this golf course, and so I try and take advantage of those every time I play. But I will say, with that, 14 is the number one handicap hole, so that goes to show that it is not an easy par five by any stretch. And either way, even par through 14, but heading to the 15th, which is the longest par three on the course at 216, going back uphill. Thankfully, it does play predominantly downwind when the wind is blowing off the lake. So that does benefit you, but it's still not an easy shot. You got to go up the hill. There's bunkering. It's a very not deep green. I mean, it's reasonable size. It's one of the bigger ones on the course, but definitely wider right to left than it is deep. Middle pin here. I hit a 5-iron and just hoisted it up there and just smoked it. Caught the middle of the green and two putted for par, which is exactly what you want to do every time on this hole, because the bunkers in the front are no fun. Missing right or left is no fun. And getting through 15, I'm sorry, even par is money. And heading to 16 is a beast of a hole. 16 is the par four that measures 454 from the back tees, also measures 454 from the blue tees, and it measures 450 from the white tees. So I will say there is zero reprieve regardless of the tee box you play. It's a pretty friendly fairway. good landing area. There's a tree on the right and just kind of some fair kind of undulation on the right that I like to work the ball off of with a draw, because the trees on the left are absolute jail. Fescues left if it's peak season. So you want to be coming into this green from the right side. So I hit a driver out there, caught the right side of the fairway, and even still, I had, again, was smoking it off the tee, and I still had 170 yards into this green, and it's just a long hole. And the second shot plays uphill. There's a bunker that guards the front right side, just kind of this little pop bunker type deal. And then there's a hill to the left of the green. And if you're bold, you can kind of play a fade off of that hill. And if you get a good bounce, you'll hit a really good shot. But if you get stuck in the rough on the left side of this hill, you're just toast, because this green, you guessed it, slopes significantly back to front and left to right. So the bunker is not a bad spot to be, because if you're anywhere left of the pin location, you're probably dealing with a pretty significant bender. That's really difficult. I did tug mine into the left fringe from 170. I thankfully had a bit of a middle back hole location, so I was putting more uphill than across, but did have to be very, very delicate. Lagged it down there. This putt probably broke about 6-7 feet, if I were to guess. So even just to kind of paint the picture, it's still no bueno. And lagged it down there. I had about 2 feet to tap in for par, so thankfully was more than happy to two putt that one and move on, because 17 is a gettable hole. 17 and 18 are a cool finishing stretch, because you're looking at a par 4 that's 360 and a par 5. And 17 is one where I just bomb driver, because you've got a severely undulating fairway. It's a dogleg right, and if you blow it right, you're over on 18. If you're in the fescue in between 17 and 18, it's not that bad. And it's realistically, it's the best angle to approach this green from. This green runs kind of front right to back left. There's greenside bunker left that guards a lot of it. It's a very, very deep green that slopes pretty significantly on that back third. I had a back right hole or back middle hole location. If you lay up short, if you do play the conservative route and take an iron, you're just dealing with some seriously undulating fairway. There's a huge hill there, and it makes it awfully difficult, because if you end up on top of it, it's great. If you end up on the upslope, you're working hard to hit a good second shot, and if you end up over it, you're potentially on a little bit of a downslope, which doesn't make it easy either, even though it is a wedge shot. Anywhere on this green is good, but I only had 50 yards into this hole, so it was super short, and coming in from the right side, just kind of a bump and run with a 56. I thought about taking the 16, trying to fly it, but I do know from just kind of local knowledge and experience, if you kind of fly this to the middle of the green to a back pin, more often than not, you'll kind of get a little skip and release, and worst case scenario, you're putting back uphill. So it was good, and so I just flew a wedge there into the middle of the green, and it did not release as much as I thought, but still left an uphill putt that was right to left, and yeah, I gave it a good run, because I wanted to get under par. I really wanted to get under par, and so took a good run at it, ended up lipping out for birdie there, and tapping in for par going to the 18th, which is a great spot to be for me, or honestly, I feel like anybody that goes out here and is even par through 17, you played a really good round. I don't know what the course record is out here, though. But 18 is to me a test of a par 5 finishing hole, because off the tee it's dead straight. There's trouble to the right. There's this kind of valley of trees that'll just, if you get stuck in those, it can be excruciating to get out. And you're pitching out sideways, or if you're bold, you're going to try and rip it through a gap and try and advance it any substantial distance. You're taking a significant risk. I ended up yanking it left out of a little bit of fear of going right, and thankfully I didn't have any trouble. I ended up over there just kind of in the rough by the fescue, which is fine, because for me it just kind of opens up the layup. There is a fairway bunker up the left that does kind of come into play depending on where you're trying to lay up to, so be conscious of that. It's really kind of right about that 100-yard mark out. So kind of in the primo layup area, because the fairway, again, it's pretty significantly undulated, and you just kind of want to try and find a flat spot, but you need to have a little bit of local knowledge to know where the flat spot is and what yards to play to, because this green is no bargain. in my opinion. So I ended up hitting an iron shot up there to about 9,500 yards out and just kind of laid up in the left center of the fairway. And we had a middle hole location, but middle on this green is no bargain because it's really right on top of this ridge. There's a spine that runs through the green front to back that kind of everything to the right of the spine falls off to the right, and a lot of times will roll off into the fringe or even into the first cut. Left, it'll funnel down to the left side of the green, which thankfully flattens out. Long is jail because everything off this green just kind of, it's perched on a little bit of a hill, so anything long, anything right, anything long left, you're just toast. There's bunkering front right. Thankfully, it's a good size green, but it's one that you just try and get the yardage right, and you just try and knock down there and two putt. And that's exactly what I did. I tried to flip a wedge in there. I ended up spinning a little bit more than I anticipated, so I left myself about 15, 18 feet short. And I really wanted to make this birdie putt, and I really wanted to get under par and shoot a 71 at Miskeen Country Club in October, because I thought that'd be a really fun way to kind of almost conclude the season. But hit the putt a little too hard, got a little too bold with it, ran it about 4 feet by, and so now all of a sudden I go from trying to make birdie to shoot one under to grinding over a four-footer to shoot even par. And thankfully knocked in that four-footer, so I saved par on 18, saved par, because it felt like a saved par. But overall, just awesome experience getting out there. It's not often that you get to play a course like Muskegon Country Club, which is in great condition all year round. I mean, the greens are pure in May. They're pure in October. The superintendent does a killer job maintaining this golf course. And so it's easy to be one of, I mean, anybody's favorites. I know a lot of guys that have been members out there for a long time. One of the guys that, the guy that invited us out to play, he's been a member there for a couple of years now. And he loves it. And I didn't ask him where he was at before Muskegon Country Club, but he's just been so thrilled to join, because it's just not only is it a great golf course, great architecture, it's every round is different. The conditions are always pure. And then the staff is great. I still know the woman that is the director of golf there. She was one of the assistant pros back when I worked there in 07 and 08. So she's been around for a long time. And I think that just is a really cool story. I mean, she's gotten to know the club, she's gotten to know the members, and she's just a really great individual. So I highly recommend it. If you're looking to join a private club, I've got a couple of buddies that joined Muskegon Country Club earlier, last year, maybe 2 years ago. They've got great rates for junior memberships, which kind of go up to 30. They've got, I don't know how many tiers of memberships they have, but they've got an under 30 tier. They got like 30 to 34, and it's worth it. I mean, shoot, if you're looking for a golf course to join and you're willing to just kind of play that same track, probably 90% of the time you play golf, Muskegon's the place to go. It's going to give you a ton of variety. It's going to test every aspect of your game. And so, again, if you're looking to join, check it out. It's definitely worth exploring. If you're not, find somebody who is a member and get out there and check it out, because it's just a cool experience, and I highly recommend it. So a little bit long again, these course overviews. I mean, I feel like I always got a lot to talk about, and it's kind of a test to keep it tight to within that hour mark. But I appreciate you guys joining. I think I'm going to keep the course overview stretch going, because I do have one more. I played in a outing on Sunday out at Thornapple Point over on the east side of Grand Rapids, which was just a super cool golf course. I hadn't played there in quite a few years. One of the guys I played with had never played there. And it was a fun day. I mean, we got great weather for this late in the season. October, it was 50 degrees. The sun poked out. I mean, the wind was definitely cool. But I want to talk about that next with you guys, because not only was it a fun golf course, but I mean, scrambles are always fun. We played with a really good group of guys. It was a three-man scramble, so they put us up with another team. We ended up playing sixsomes and had a few highlights, had a few lowlights, but overall, super fun day. And so I want to share Thornapple Point with you guys, back in the public course world, and one that you guys can get out. And they've just got, again, killer course conditions, killer fall rates. I know they got another event coming up, so they're still going to be open for a little bit longer. And then they've got some other features, too, that I want to talk about. But until next time, thanks for tuning into the Michigan Golf Podcast. As always, hope you guys enjoyed the kind of Muskegon Country Club overview. And I I don't know. This week is maybe we'll get out and play, maybe we won't, but I think there's a couple of decent days left. So I mean, we all know how Michigan is. Let's try to get it while the getting's good, because it's gonna snow soon, and then we're gonna have to do other things. So enjoy the week, guys. We'll be back with you on Thursday to talk Thorn Apple Point. But until then, hang out, happy golfing, and stay warm out there.